All right, this is the A-Rodge Podcast, hosted by me, Austin Rogers. And today I have with me Mr. Ladarian Fields. What's up, man?
What's going on, Austin?
What's up, man? So, like, you know, I've been hearing a lot about you. I've been seeing you on social media, everything you've been doing. So tell me a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do exactly.
I have my own app. I'm an entrepreneur. I also sell merchandise for my app. I throw parties here on campus, locally in Montgomery, Alabama, and I've moved around in Miami, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Tuskegee, and California.
Right. So did you grew up in Montgomery, right, though?
Yeah, I'm from Tuskegee initially, and I started going to school in Montgomery fifth grade.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about some of your ventures? Like, exactly. Let's start with the app. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's called What's the Move. If you're on the app store, you have an iPhone, you can type in WTM. It's a marketing and advertising app for parties, DJs, and venues. So if you go on there, it's user-friendly. You can type in your social media, and you can interact with users across the world that have the app on their phone as well. And you can look for parties, DJs, and venues near you. So it's a pretty good marketing tool for anybody in the party scene.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, like, having your own app, how do you go about making, like, what inspired you to make out? What did you just, you were just thinking one day in the shower or something
and
like that?
I was actually on the couch. I was supposed to be in class. This one I was going to Faulkner University. Mm-hmm. And I just Googled how to make an app because it was people from Faulkner going to parties all the time. And I was pretty known in the area. So I just came up with my own app. And then from 2016 to 2018, I came up with my first one. And then I knew from a visual aspect, I had to make it more user-friendly because I had all the content that I needed to get the job done, but it wasn't as visually attractive as it needed to be. So January 1st, 2019, I relaunched it, and from there, it's just been going crazy.
So the first version, what did it look like? Because I actually had the app on my phone, and I've seen like the most recent version, but what did the first version look like?
The first version, it was, metaphorically, it was vanilla. It was kind of plain. Mm-hmm. It was just simple. It had all the content that it needed to have, but it wasn't as attractive. Like, it wasn't eye-catching at all. So we still have the same content. We added maybe 20 to 30 new features, and we still have majority of the same concepts, but it just looks way better.
Right. So I know it's easy to just think of ideas and think, like, I want to put this into play. But how hard is it to make your own app? And, like, I know it's just steps that people don't see, but how hard is it?
It's kind of mind-boggling depending on how creative you want to get. But Apple really takes the longest to get apps approved, which is kind of a headache because there's so many apps go through Apple's system on a regular, so they're pretty stern with apps being allowed on their app store. Now, Google Play only takes 4 days to a week, so it's not as harsh with that one. But putting the actual app together, depending on if it's coded, if you need coding, or if it's pre-coded, you can pretty much juggle how hard it would be.
Right. So did you have family backing you up on this? Or was this something that it was just like, I'm going to do this regardless of what anybody thinks? This is just something that you wanted to do?
Actually, the first app that I had, my grandmother actually gave me the money to put on the app store. So it was like $250. And I had the money, but I was like, I'm just going to ask grandma for it. Just to see if she said yes or no. And she actually gave it to me. But I did have some support when I first made my first app. So it was cool. But I don't really look for support. Like, if I don't have it, I still do the same things with it or without it. But it's always good to have family support, though.
Right, and you're a marketing major, right?
Yeah, I'm a marketing major.
Right, and I can sort of tell because I can see, even just by looking at your social media, you have a lot of guys that mess with you.
Yeah, like, I have a lot, man.
You have a lot of connections. Can you talk about that and how important it is to have plugs, connections?
With social media now, it's always good to have connections, even if they don't have as many followers as you. Mm-hmm. I always try to look at it like, if someone new is looking at you and they tell three people, and those three people tell six people, and those six people tell 12 people, like, that's a lot of new people that's going to know about you by the span of a month or by the end of the year. So it's always good to look at it like that, like reaching out with even people just posting you sometimes or coming on your posts or just looking out, because clicks is what drives revenue and you can monetize things and sell things. So a lot of the athletes that are big in Montgomery right now, because we're fortunate to have, I think, four that's going to the combine, and these are like close friends that I have, so they always try to look out and support me, and it's vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
definitely helps.
Yeah, I can sort of tell. So, what are some other ventures that you have other than the app? Because I know you're into clothing. I know you're into, you have a festival.
Yeah, I had a festival Labor Day, September 6th this past year. Stephen Reed came and talked with us, and we had some representatives, some Greeks from D9, that came and strolled off. We had a stroll-off contest, for a $1,000 cash prize. It was a great turnout, actually, for the first year. And now I know, we did that in 6 weeks, so now I know what to do and what to prepare for and how I can improve on marketing and advertisement and different fundraising things to raise more money so I don't have to come out of pocket. So it was a great experience. I also have the apparel extension for the app, coming from hats, beachwear, bathing suits that I just dropped. That just went crazy. That just went crazy on my Instagram. If you listen to this, follow me on Instagram at The Real Fields with a Z at the end. Baseball Fields, Football Fields. The bathing suits just went ridiculous. I had shirts that I did this fall, and I just had the reflective jacket. So all of those did pretty good.
And I didn't even think about it until you just said it. You said you make money off of other events that you use. So basically what I'm hearing is you make money off the festival, and it could be invested into your other businesses, is what you're saying.
That's normally what I do, so I don't have to come out of pocket, because I haven't had a job since 2016. So
Pretty much all the money you make is off of what you do?
Yeah, everything I do, including cutting hair. I cut hair on the side, so cutting hair, merchandise, parties, festivals, it just all ties into each other.
Yeah, you do cut hair, because I had a lot of guys talking about that. So how much money do you think it really costs? Do you think it's very expensive to invest in yourself? Do you think it's worth it?
It's definitely worth it. I've taken some L's. I try to tell all my Instagram followers that I fail often, because I don't just want them to think that it's just great.
It's just glory. Because if I look at your Instagram, honestly, all I see is success.
Yeah, like,
so it just seems like anybody can do it. So that's
what
I'm saying.
Failure.
Like,
they definitely don't see the failure. I might start posting my failure more often, but I don't think I want to do that, because it's pros and cons to that. But I do want them to know that I fail often, which brings me to more success, because I get the failure out of the way. So it looks good, which I'm learning, like, every day. I learn new stuff every day, and I'm teaching myself often. And I think I have anxiety, honestly. Really? But I just listen to music to get out of it.
What you listen to?
Gunna. I listen to Gunna every day. Yikes. And he about to drop a song this weekend, so I'm so ready.
So you one of those, like, Lil Baby guys, too?
Yeah, I definitely listen to Lil Baby. But Gunna is in my top five, 1 through 5.
Yikes. So with your business, is it mostly in Montgomery? Because I know didn't you used to, like, stay in Atlanta, too?
No, I wasn't. But I had a brand ambassador in Atlanta, this guy named Juan Andre. But I've been, how can I say this? Primarily, I've been dominant in Montgomery, but I have been in different areas, too.
Right.
I have been in different areas.
So do you ever look at it as, like, if I were permanently in, let's just say, Atlanta, Georgia, for example, your business would take off even more? Or do you look at it as, like, well, I have a lot of plugs in Montgomery, so I could start here and not just jump the ladder right away and just work my way up and eventually just expand?
I definitely look at it like, if I was in Atlanta, I could blow. But Atlanta is Black Hollywood, what they call it. But I feel like if I was stationary in Atlanta and I can move around how I needed to and network, because besides the artists, there's so many people with businesses that actually work together. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the things that we lack in Montgomery or in Alabama, that people don't really work together. And it's like, it's not friendly competition. It's more of a, I'm not going to help him as much because I don't want him to surpass me, which kind of is holding you back and both of us, which we can benefit if we both blow up or meet the right person. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I was in Atlanta, I could definitely succeed more. And I actually was about to try to go to Georgia State at one point in time, but I didn't because of out-of-state fees. So I came back to Oklahoma State. But I definitely wanted to go to Atlanta. Definitely.
So speaking of which, I thought about you saying guys don't really like to team up. It seems like your group has, like, well, what you do, it seems like your fashion is sort of like outside the box, right? when it comes to the typical like Montgomery fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever feel like pressure with your brand to like try to make it conform to like Montgomery standards of fashion? Because, you know,
I do. I definitely do.
So do you fall into it or do you just ignore it but like think about getting into it?
I try to ignore it. But I feel like this market is so different. It's like crab in a bucket kind of. And I don't think our market has actually gone to the places they should. I don't feel like they visually see, I don't feel like they visually see the things they should have seen in life, because I feel like we're very simple-minded in Montgomery. Facts. I feel like we're very simple-minded. And I feel like I could be one of those pioneers that get people to see the things that they need to see, mm-hmm. but it's so hard. And I try to get all my homeboys to just open their minds up, but I feel like they're just
like
so
in
stuck.
Like in what ways? Like is it just fashion or is it like other things?
Definitely other things, but fashion, I feel like we're light years behind.
Yeah,
like light years. I feel like we get all the shoes late. I feel like we're still in the baggy pants era. Kind of.
Hey, the funny thing is, I had one of my friends, his name's Big Ant. He has like Too Much Sauce Sneak.
Oh, yeah, I know he's on my. Yeah.
Big Ant. I had him on the other day, and we were talking about Shoe Game in Montgomery, right? And he was like, guys in Montgomery are starting to get Yeezys now.
Yeah,
I remember
they
back
are.
In the day, like years ago, like that used to be. Montgomery was just straight J's, straight
11, J's.
Straight bread, cool.
I feel
bread.
Like we're light years behind, man. I hope it changes, but.
So have you always been open minded, or is that something that you just learned from traveling and just seeing different things? And
I feel like in the next 2 years I'll probably know, because I'm still in the process of trying to be more open minded. So I feel like I have been to a certain extent, and traveling has helped me get to the point where I am right now, because when I travel, I'm always in a better mood. Mm-hmm. When I go to Atlanta. When I get downtown, I just start smiling. Yeah. I can't even help it. It's not even intentional. I just start smiling because I love being outside of Montgomery, seeing different things, seeing the different atmospheres and different energies that people have. When I went to California, I believe it was Melrose, and we were passing by Supreme. And they didn't open until maybe like 11, but at 9 o'clock, it was a line around the block. And I don't feel like if we were in Montgomery, people would get that type of support. But the pop-up shop itself, like the visual setup and the environment and the setting was crazy. Like it made you want to spend money and be in that type of atmosphere with good energy and smiles and people just enjoying themselves. Yeah. And I don't feel like we have that as much in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could, but it'll definitely take some time.
Yeah, and that's what I think, too, because I travel playing basketball and whatnot.
Yeah.
So when I go, like, different places, I just see, like, different vibes. Like, it could be diverse vibes. Like, it could be white people with black people. And I think, like, Montgomery is not really like that.
It's not
more
really
so
like that. It's needed.
Yeah.
It's definitely needed.
It's more so, like, hood vibes, but, you know. So, so what other ventures do you have? Is it just, like, these three things? Where's the Playmakers?
The Playmakers, though. I've been throwing high school parties since 2017, and I never really came up with a team. I've just been doing it independent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say independent, but I can't get a recipe away. But normally I just get a good amount of people from the area, and then we just collectively throw a party together. But now, since I know social media has grown since 2017, I came up with the Playmakers, and we're a team that throw high school parties in Montgomery.
Mm. So who's all a part of your team?
Really is one pretty known person, pretty well-known person from each high school. So I get Brutech, I get Lamp, I get Lanier, I get Carver, I get Park Crossing, Pike Road, and maybe Catholic. And I just get a group of kids, and we just have fun. We just throw parties.
So yeah, pretty big turnout, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing this marketing internship for this artist named DJ the Rapper, and he came and performed at our last party that we had for Christmas break. I believe it was December 20th.
DJ the Rapper, that name sounds familiar.
I've been posting on my Instagram. I'm gonna send him to you when we get done with this.
Okay.
Him and Lil Boosie have the same artist, and he actually has a song with Lil Baby that he's about to drop at the beginning of March, and he's about to record a video with NBA YoungBoy in Birmingham, I believe March 27th. When he comes to BJCC, I believe that's where they're performing at. But I've been doing the marketing internship with him, and he came perform at one of the parties that we have for the Playmakers. And we have a party March 13th when they get out of school, and as well as the night that they graduate.
Right. So with that marketing internship, what is it exactly that you do?
And just creating content for him to advertise and market his music, engage with followers, gain new followers, put out different content. It's really, with marketing, you're recycling and doing the same stuff, but it's just different ways of doing it, really.
New innovative ways.
Yeah.
That's cool. So are you, like, into fashion, like high-end fashion?
I actually got asked this on one of my interviews, too. I'm actually cheap. I believe it was yesterday somebody called me Julius off of Everybody Hates
Chris. Yeah.
Because I'm cheap. Like, the shoes I got on right now, people think they're expensive, but these were $30. So I'm...
Really?
Yeah, these were $30.
I thought they were like...
these were $30.
I thought they were some, like, designer. Like, no, you know how Yeezys be having, like...
These were $30. I wish I could show the people. Well, I'll probably post them on my Instagram after this.
Yeah.
But I like high-end clothes, but I don't buy them because I don't feel like it's a need for me to right now. Because I'm one of them type of people. I'm one of those type of people that if I buy high-end, when I go look at my bank account, I'm going to be disappointed that I bought those. But they'll look good. And I just came up with this new saying, like, if you buy high-end shoes, if you're not looking down at your feet, you really don't know what type of shoes you're wearing. So you really spent $800 to $1,300 for some shoes that they don't massage your feet when you're wearing them. So you really just bought some shoes that look good and that are expensive. So I'm one of those type. If it look good, I'll put it together. Really.
Yeah. Well, I've always been wondering, like, for you, you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. How important is it to keep striving? Because, well, have you ever had a point where you just literally felt like giving up?
Yeah, I feel like that all the time.
Nah, but where it's like a serious point where you're like, you seriously look yourself in the mirror and like, man, I really don't know if I want to do this or not.
I haven't came to one of those yet.
Yeah.
I just stare down with myself.
Yeah, like an epiphany where you're just like, I don't know.
I haven't had one of those yet, but I definitely go through a lot of stress. But my stress only lasts like 5 to 10 minutes because I listen to music and then it just goes away. Then I just snap out of it. And then being in school on top of running the business and being an entrepreneur, it's an extra headache. And I always ask myself, like, am I behind? But then again, I don't feel like I'm behind because I'm more advanced than some of the students that I've taken classes with. Like, when we took accounting, we were talking about liabilities and equity and expenses, and some of them didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. But doing parties, I had the upper hand of actually doing those things and being hands-on. But it's stressful. So it's a win-win, but it's definitely stressful, though. But I haven't came to the stare-down of, like, want to throw the towel in yet. I hope I don't.
So do you have a love for what you do, or is it just like a...
Yeah, I have a real love for what I do. I could do this the rest of my life. So once I graduate, if I get a marketing job, I'll still do everything that I'm doing right now until it blows. But if it doesn't blow, I'll still do marketing because that's a real love that I have. That's a real love. I could do that the rest of my life.
Right. That's interesting. So, what do you do on the regular? What is a regular day for you like?
I have like 4 lifestyles in one day. Workout. I'm back playing football for Alabama State. I didn't tell nobody though, so this is
interesting.
It's a new release. This is a new release.
Because I was wondering, because I'm thinking like, because I remember high school, you were raw. So I'm thinking like, all right, he must have just like put all of his energy into this. Because, you know, I guess... I figured you'd just be too busy to like focus on football.
So I went through a lot to actually try to get back on the team. I just made the team this past week. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't even know I played football in high school. They just know me for throwing parties.
And so you ran track too.
I did run track.
Man.
A lot of people don't know I have an athletic background, so they'll probably see me in the fall. But a regular day consists of working out, school, selling merch, cutting hair, and my app. So I go through like 4 or 5 different lifestyles all in a day. And this is 7 days a week, 365 on a regular basis. So sometimes I'll leave a workout early to go do business stuff. And sometimes I have a phone call in class where I need to step outside that is talking about something that I'm planning for the future. So it's like juggling a lot all at once. But I feel like I handled it pretty good, though. Because I've been doing it for a year and a half, 2 years, so it's pretty normal to me now. But I feel like with football, it might be beneficial that we do work out in the morning so I don't mess up any of my routines that I've been doing. So I feel like I might be able to do all of it, or I might need to get an assistant. Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was about to say, do you have anybody that, like, I was going to say, like, a manager that helps you just balance everything? So it's just all you.
It's just all me. All me. It's a lot, but I like it, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot, though. Definitely a lot. That's why I cherish my downtime, which I don't really... My downtime isn't even really downtime, but I enjoy when I can just sit down on the couch. But then a phone call comes, or I have to get on the computer and upload some stuff. But I definitely enjoy my downtime.
So have you had any people that were close to you, or maybe not even close to you, that have just, you've seen just giving you negative feedback? And not like constructive criticism, just like straight, you feel like they were hating.
I've seen a little bit of it, but my version of people hating is people not supporting me as they do other people. Because me and my friends had this talk one day, and they were like, bro, you know we're cool with Fields. Like, people look at Fields like a celebrity, but they don't really support me because they've been knowing me so long. Mm-hmm. So I don't really get the full support from some of my peers because they know me or they've grown up with me. And sometimes I wonder, like, if they didn't know me, what would that type of love be like? They might be posting me everywhere or giving me full support because I wouldn't be, like, a regular guy that they see all the time.
So what do you consider, like, full support?
Really just posting me, or if I need some help, you can help that way. It was this girl DM me, and she said, I can't financially support you right now, but I'll post everything you need me to, or she'll, like, look out whenever she needs me to. Because just buying stuff, that's support, but you don't even have to support me that way. Like, reach out to me and get me in the eyes of people that don't know me. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll find something that they like, and they'll be a new fan or follower, and they can help me some type of way. Mm-hmm. So you can post me and I'll get a sale, which that might be more support than you asking for a discount, essentially. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that.
So do you get a lot of people, like, asking you for discounts or free stuff? And, like,
all the time.
How does that make you feel?
Parties, haircuts, app. Like, I get that all the time. I'm actually surprised when I don't get it at this point. I get that all the time.
So it just lets you see, like, who's with you and who's not with you. Do you ever feel used like that? Or is it just like...
Nah, I don't ever let it get to that point.
Just black people just, you know.
Definitely. And in Montgomery, I feel like it's definitely just black people. Because I run into it so much where people want a haircut for $10 or $15, but they'll turn around and pull out $200, $300 in 20s. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
But I'm so used to it now when it's like, if you don't pay my price, I probably won't even get your response. Mm-hmm. Like, people know my price now when I'm cutting hair. So they won't even contact me unless they know they're going to bring, like, a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. So, and with parties, too.
Yeah, and I feel like setting standards when it comes to businesses shows quality. So, like, if you didn't set standards, if you just, like, go for anything, people, I guess, won't, like, respect it as much as when you, like, are stern with something like a price.
And you definitely have to be stern with it. When I was younger, I used to try to always be the nice guy and please everyone. But you do have to put your foot down at some point for people to respect you, like, don't even hit Fields up if you don't have such and such amount, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. Which, I'd rather be that type of stern and still be the nice guy when I'm doing it and have great quality instead of being a nice guy and I lose and satisfy everybody.
Right. So I know you said earlier you were like, you don't really reach out to people that are... Do you ever reach out to, like, celebrities?
I do. I actually reached out to 2 Chainz around the time that I had my festival, and I was just talking to someone at SJ because I feel like if they're alumni from Alabama State, there should be some type of way that we can reach out to them and they could maybe help us in some type of way. Mm-hmm. If they're alumni of the school, and I feel like there should be some in place where we can actually interact with people. Because I know 2 Chainz is in the music industry, and there's a lot of people that are trying to get their foot in the door with music. So maybe if he had an event or some type that he could actually help people, because there's a lot of celebrities from Alabama State that people don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we don't use our resources as much, and we should.
How is it not having pride or trying not to have too much pride and just swallowing, just gutting up and saying, all right, I'm just going to ask so-and-so. Meek Mill, show Meek Mill what I got.
Man, I know Rick Ross came down here like 2 years ago for a Wingstop.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually missed it. I was at the barbershop, and I was cutting so much, and time just passed by. And I really wanted to go talk to Rick Ross because he's somebody that I definitely look up to, because he took music and turned it into a lot of business ventures, because he owns Wingstop. And I know Checkers, Bel Air, I think it's like two more. Because on his interview with Breakfast Club, he says a lot of people eating Rick Ross and they don't even know it. Mm. And I'm trying to get like that. So I wish I could have took advantage of going to speak to Rick Ross. But DMing celebrities, I try to DM people who are on the cusp of blowing, because I know a lot of people that are already blown, they probably don't even look at their DMs as much.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They probably don't even look at it as much. It's probably so much junk in there, like fans just saying, oh, I love you so much. Yeah. They might get pictures, crazy pictures, yeah, a lot. So I try to get people on the cusp of blowing or either ASU alumni. I reached out to 2 Chainz, but I definitely haven't gotten a response back. I want to reach out to Ricky Smiley, but I don't know what I would bring to the table yet. Because I know if you're going to reach out to a celebrity, 9 times out of 10, they wanted to at least benefit them, mm-hmm, to get some type of response. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the midst of waiting and in the midst of hitting up a lot of people to get at least maybe 2 or 3 yeses and like 80 no's.
Yeah. And so here's how I feel about it. I feel like if you reach out, you really have nothing to lose but everything to gain. The worst they can say is no or not respond.
Yeah.
And the best is yes.
I'm telling you.
So is there anything else that you wanted to add? Any other things you're working on that we don't know about? Or?
I'm working on this OnlyFans, but it's going to be for marketing. It's not going to be for anything vulgar.
So. Oh, all right. You have me. But
it's OnlyFans. I'm going to do one-on-one consultations with people and give tips and any questions that they have on how I started my business. I get asked it a lot. I get asked that question a lot, so I might as well find a way to make people pay for it. Mm-hmm. The knowledge and things that I went through, because it wasn't free for me. So I feel like if they'll invest in themselves and pay $3-4 a month, if they really want to be successful, they'll really put that money into themselves to learn and get the things that I had to go through that they won't have to go through. Mm-hmm. So I can be that speed bump for them. And I'm about to do that. Maybe I'm aiming for March. I'm probably about to go ahead and get the graphics done in the next 2 weeks so I can start advertising it. Mm-hmm. And then once I'm doing that, I'll get someone who has a business of their own to give tips that they go through, or give tips to people that they went through with, mm-hmm, their business.
Yeah, that's interesting. Seems like you're doing some pretty good things, man. And it seems mind like sharing this information with people. Like, it seems like you like helping people, like you said earlier.
I definitely like helping people.
Well, LD, man, I appreciate you coming through, man. So can you give out your social media again?
My social media, my Twitter and Instagram is THEREALFIELDZ. It's The Real Fields. Fields spelled baseball fields, football fields, but with a Z at the end. No Snapchat.
Well, man, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming through, man. I'm going to get you back up here real soon to see how everything goes.
Definitely got
to
do it again.
Look back at this and see how far you've come.
Definitely got to do it again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, this is the A-Raj Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in.